out sometime. Talk about things you don't understand. You better stick to the matters at hand before that whole damn thing unwinds. I tell you, she is beautiful, she is small. Play basketball. There's no telling what she gonna do before her doing days are through. Right now she can't even crawl. Georgia Ray.
Hi, this is Lily Hyatt, and you're listening to Perfectly Good Podcast.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Perfectly Good Podcast, the only podcast on the internet that is counting down every John Hyatt song in alphabetical order. Today is going to be a good one for multiple reasons. One, we are talking one of my favorite John Hyatt songs, Georgia Ray. It is absolutely just, it makes me smile every time I hear it. It is a song you don't get tired of. And I can't wait to talk about it with Sylvan, my co-host. But Sylvan, there's another reason why we're excited, aren't we?
We are. I have been holding back, knowing that I could extend an invitation to a very special guest. And this person is so lovely that I wasn't too afraid that she would say no, but I was thinking there might be reasons. And even if she did, she'd be very gracious about it. But if you could make a short list of who could possibly add insight, who would we love to talk to specifically about Georgia Ray? There's perhaps two people. One would be Georgia Ray herself, and the other would be Georgia Ray's mom. So it is my absolute shivering with delight, pleasure, and honor to introduce you, Jesse, and the Perfectly Good Podcast audience to Mrs. Nancy Stanley Hyatt. Nancy, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, yay. Thank you for having me here. Thank you for having me here. It's the payoff from carrying that baby for 9 months.
One of the things Sylvan always does is puts together a little playlist for us of covers. And one of the first was John doing it live, and he brought about the album is 30 years old, which Agro,
that
the
can't
child
be true.
Is 30, and you're like, no, wait a minute, that can't be. But I know the feeling. My son was born in 89. And every once in a while I go, wait a minute, my kid's 35? He's older than I was when I had him, which is odd. So
absolutely.
welcome to the podcast, Nancy. And so we're going to let Sylvan do a little bit of talk, and then we're going to get into the song.
Yes. Okay. As always, we start with just the facts. Just the facts for the song Georgia Ray. It was track number 6 on a little album we might have heard of called Slow Turning, which was released August 30th, 1988. This is the third song we've discussed from that album. But before I go into those details, I should also mention that there are other release dates for the song Georgia Ray. It was released as a single, and it had a B-side called Already Loved. So that was also in 1988. It came out on a very special gold edition of CD in 1998. And what was really nice about that is John made little comments about each of the 12 songs on Slow Turning. So I'm going to read what he said about Georgia Ray. She wasn't even born yet when I wrote this. Plus, we were hard up for boy names. My contribution was Casper Diego. So the missus was relieved when it was a girl. She's pushing 11 now, and along with her brother Rob and her sister Lily, never ceases to astound me. And Michael Elliott, who we often quote, shared that Georgia Ray, the person, came into the world right in the middle of Slow Turning. That's another release date that we could mention. Slow Turning was recorded between May 20th and June 6th, 1988, and Georgia Rae was born May 30th. It's a little early to wish her a happy birthday, but our best wishes always to Ms. Georgia Rae. And let's see, there was one more release date. 2018, it was released on special edition vinyl. So it just keeps on coming and it keeps on getting better, in my opinion. It also often occurs on John Hiatt's set list in live versions. I have a 1994 bootleg. The really fun part is because of the line, "She can't even crawl," he has to update that from time to time if he's not playing the timey-wimey game. So I have a version from 1994 where he points out, "You know what, folks? She rather likes to play basketball. And right now she's pushing 4 feet tall." And in 2001, he said, "Right now she's almost 5'4" tall." So we literally saw Georgia Rae grow up in live versions of this song, which is just lovely. And I think that covers just the facts of Georgia Rae.
So I do notice that normally when we have a new guest, Sylvan, you say, "So when did you discover John Hiatt?" I noticed you did not do that with our guest.
I did not. And I think if anyone wants to know those stories, they can buy Michael Elliott's book. But okay. Nancy, if there's anything you wanted to fill in the blanks, or if you wanted to just tell us about your feelings about music in general, or anything that comes to mind about John's music in particular, your feelings about music, how you interact with a particular song or this song.
I grew up in Nashville, Tennessee, and we had this wonderful club called the Exit Inn. And John was a frequent artist at the Exit Inn. And I was not old enough to go. So and my sister would thankfully lend me her driver's license, and I would go every weekend.
Nice.
And after John and I met, we would talk about these shows that we saw at the Exit Inn, and he was like, "I played on that," or "I played guitar for him," or something. And I was just, I'd be like, "Really?" And so anyway, but it's nice because it did give us, even though he didn't grow up in Nashville, it gave us a sense of growing up.
Yeah.
Together.
And I can relate to that.
It gave us a kinship of place.
Yes. And musical history is history.
And then he shortly thereafter moved to California, and he released, I don't know how many records. I should have done my homework, or Michael Elliott knows how many records he released in California. And then he had an unfortunate part of his life that was very sad, and he picked up Lily and moved back to Nashville. And that's actually when I met him for the first time. I don't know, even really know how long he had been back in Nashville. Because after we got married, I realized that all of this had happened in a much quicker frame of time than I thought. But
you were caught up in the warp of love.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting. I think I even forgot to tell this to Michael, but the very first time I saw John was I was a single mother and divorced and definitely not looking to even date. And I saw him across the room, and it was really very odd because a voice very much said in my head, "You're going to marry him."
Wow.
And I tried to leave as fast as I could. I don't know.
Deny your fate.
Yeah, I didn't know what to do with that information. But in fact, we were married in fairly short order. I decided I needed to listen to that exact voice. So we were married 6 months after we met. So it was quick.
That's awesome.
And you know, you've gone a distance. As very few couples do.
Yeah, we have. We've run the marathon.
So a couple things, and then we'll get to discussing the song. But Sylvan, your story about John getting it. One of my dearest friends is a lady named Sarah Hickman. singer-songwriter. One of the first songs I heard her play covered is It Hadn't Happened Yet. And she thought it was a Roseanne Cash song. She had no idea who John Hiatt was. But Sarah did a song called Newborn. Mm-hmm. She did an album of songs, some covers, some original songs, because she felt like children and parents should sing to their children. So then she did a second album called Toddler, which was all songs under a minute because toddlers have very short. And then she did Big Kid. And our joke was, will she later go? Yeah. And her child name is, by the way, Lily as well. Lily mad at her parents. This is Lily mad at her parents going through Teenage Rebellion CD. So yeah. The other question I had is, I've been lucky enough to have Maureen Van Zandt on the podcast twice. Married to Steven Van Zandt, played his on-screen wife in The Sopranos. And she talked about that as much as she loves the music, she doesn't like touring. She goes, I like shopping. I like going to the places where the band is going where I can shop. I like going to the meals. But after a while, I don't want to see the show again because it's my husband's workplace. It isn't. So where is your vat on fandom of hearing live music that you see him possibly do create? And then seeing it live, how does that feel in the barometer of that?
The creation's not nearly as fun as watching him perform it. And he'll kill me if he ever hears. Don't let him hear the podcast. Anyway, okay. I am a very much music fan and have always been, and a singer-songwriter fan. That I at 14, Guy Clark changed my life. Nice. Musically, and so it's John is in a genre that I adore. Didn't know that when I met him. Had no idea about any of his music, and I've always been music. I have to have music in my life. Yeah, to say that, seeing him live and seeing the way the audience interacts with him is very pleasurable for me because he has a great following. These people are wonderful. And I like to interact with the music as a fan from the audience. Hearing it being written was a lot of fun at first. And then about year 10, you ask them to shut the door.
Let me know when it's finished.
Yeah, that's nice. Right.
I'd love to hear that when it's done, babe.
So I would be a very bad podcast host if I didn't ask you, can you tell the story of how Guy Clark changed your life?
Yeah, it's hard to put into words, but once again, I was sneaking into the exit in thanks to my sister. And I always went on songwriters nights because it was easier to get in. And then it's like Steve Martin was there, forget about it. So anyway, I go on the songwriters night and Guy might have been even singing Homegrown Tomatoes. I don't know. It wasn't my favorite picture of you. It was just, and I just all of a sudden realized that, and I was 14, we're jumping over Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5 at this point, and the other people that had been on the radio, and all of a sudden I realized that, wait, the best delivery of a song you're going to hear is from the man who wrote it, or the woman who wrote it, and Diane Davidson was very, wow, it was an amazing time to be at the exit in. And they knew I wasn't the right age. They just would let me in. And
they probably could get that you were a fan and they wanted that energy as part of the crowd.
And I didn't cause any trouble.
Yeah.
And I didn't go to the back refrigerator where everybody was doing cocaine. So I managed to know. My mother taught me how to stay.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
That's nice. I love that.
By the way, it's also on my bucket list for the podcast to have Diane Davidson on because the one time I got to go to the Exit Inn, which was part of the anniversary shows where I met Nancy for the very first time, Diane was the opening act. And man, is she phenomenal.
She's unbelievable. Yes.
And
she's having a lot of health problems and home problems, right? Keeping a roof over her head right now. So,
yeah.
We should all think about her.
And go ahead and start buying some of that back catalog and fill in the blanks if you have any, because you won't regret it, for one, anyone who's listening who isn't familiar and doesn't have her albums. But two, yeah, she could use a little. Yeah.
And
yeah.
She was young. Diane was, I'm not even sure Diane was old enough to be in the Exit. A lot of us weren't.
Right.
By the way, as I said, when I have someone on the podcast, I'll say, can you articulate what about Bruce or whoever's music spoke to you? And I will tell you, Nancy, and I'm not just saying that, you articulated that very well.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I know you were worried about that, but I think the idea of realizing that you almost like I can cut a layer. I can go back to the roots of the person is pretty amazing.
And all I can feel it. I think that's the thing, is you feel it more than hear it.
Yeah.
And it's really, wow. Coming from the source, like anything else, it's really great.
That's amazing. All right, guys, as you can tell, we're going to have a great one. We're going to be back in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
And we're back. So before we get to discussing the songs, I did send you guys an email that, you know, I am a sucker for a parent writing a song about a child. Jimmy Buffett's Little Miss Magic just makes me smile every time I hear it. And Bruce did Living Proof, which about his first son. So already Georgia Ray is like playing to my Nancy. Is there any, before we start breaking down the lyrics, is there any insight or thoughts about what, if anything, John discussed with you as we were writing it?
I think that the main thing about the song, and I think you're going to, I listened to and read the lyrics of both Springsteen and Buffett again when you sent that out. And I think that what you're going to find is people are pretty overjoyed when they have a baby. And John and I married with two children, and this was our glue baby, basically. This was the baby we were having together. And as far as parents are wrong all the time, but this worked out. We saw her as holding the three children together. And my son was, our son, now our son, was 10 years old. And so he was old enough that Georgia was his baby, basically. And Lily...
Built-in babysitter or not so much?
Huh?
Built-in babysitter? Did he do a lot of the...
Oh, heck caretaker. No, they wouldn't babysit her. You can, I'm not that lucky. They all played together. They obviously, when she was, Georgia was a baby, she was their favorite toy, to be quite honest. And then as she got older, they were just cohesive. They're a cohesive unit to this day. And as adults, the love between those three is one of the greatest joys I've ever witnessed in my life.
And if I can point out just how lovely a job you did raising them, specifically Lily, just how gracious and kind she is. My first interaction with her, she was just, first of all, just so sweet. And I had my fan magazine at the time. And she actually pointed out that she had called Georgia to tell her, guess what I just found? And I was just like so flattered and blown away that one, that these two people that I'd imagined for so long were actually talking about something I made, but that Lily thought it was cool enough to share. And I could just tell that they had that sisterhood still, that it wasn't a big event, but she just got her on the phone to talk to her about it. I thought it was so lovely.
Yeah, they are that close. And the Hyatt girls are all in love with you. So so welcome to the family.
But, oh, my God.
That makes me very happy. Yeah, I am seeing Lily for the first time on Friday, the 22nd. She's playing at Club Dada. I have shared with Sylvan, I have many good thoughts because my friend I was just talking about, Sarah Hickman, when she was just starting, like in 88, would play Club Dada at 10 o'clock every Monday night. And Linda and I would get off from work at 5, go home, take a nap, and then drive to downtown Dallas, you know, to Deep Ellum, be there for the 10 o'clock set, stay to midnight. Sarah would do a couple of sets, and then come back and go to work the next day.
Sounds like having a baby. You have to get up in the middle of the night.
Yeah. My 64 self is thinking, God, I couldn't do that now. But then we just loved it. We just loved seeing her and doing that. And so to think I'm going to see Lily at Club Dada that I have so many happy memories about is making me very excited. And if I get a chance to tell her, I'll say, hey, your mom says hi.
Yeah.
That's great.
Tell her mom says she knows how to rock and roll.
She sure does. Yes.
She does. Yes. That is a lovely introduction. Sylvan, do you want to start us off on lyrics?
I would be happy to. Typically do a verse and discuss thoughts. I will start. I know a girl mess with your mind. She'll come to you in the summer sometime. She'll talk about things you don't understand, but you better keep to the matters at hand before the whole damn thing unwinds. And if I can go first on the discussion, I have to give a shout out to the Shot of Rhythm people who, in the days before you would always have lyrics printed or so forth, that was a line that for some reason someone misheard before the whole damn thing unwinds as Hody Homie Sean or something like that. And there are a few people that always ended their discussions on this email discussion group with that as their signature, Hody Shine on Wine. And I still think of that. And I do feel like for a while when John was performing this live, he was really careful in his enunciation on that. But besides that, I love how he starts this song with a little bit of mystery, that he could be talking about anyone at any age. He keeps us guessing. He's obviously enraptured with this character because she's a mystery. She's mysterious, but he can't stop thinking about her. And he wants to dig into that mystery. What do you guys think?
Nancy, please.
I think you're right on. We were pregnant. We were due in the early summer. Early June was actually the due date. We had no idea if she was a boy or a girl. I told him that I didn't want to know. I said, you're pregnant for 9 months. The only surprise you get is what it is. So I didn't want to know, but we had been doing the name thing. And originally, I hope Georgia doesn't hear this either. Originally, I wanted to name her Savannah. And I went to a went to California to visit my sister, and I met a woman who was, I guess, about 4 months more pregnant than I was. And when the baby, when she had her baby, my sister called me and said, "Guess what so-and-so did?" And I went, "What?" And she stole your name.
Aww.
And I went, "What are you talking about?" And she said she called her baby Savannah. And I went, "That's no big deal. I'll go for the state. I'll name her Georgia." And then Rob said, John said, "What's her middle name?" And I said, "The man who sang the song. Let's call her Georgia Ray." And that's exactly how the name came about. And John was just beside himself that Ray Charles was going to be in this girl's name. And
I can't interrupt there. I'm so sorry, Nancy.
No, it's fine.
When my mom had her second daughter, I was older than Rob was when he became an older sibling. I was 20, but mom gave me the right to my sister Dorothy's middle name. And I'm like, it has to be something Hyatt related. So it was also the year that Ray Charles passed. So I said, it has to be Ray for both Georgia Ray and Ray Charles.
Oh,
and
wow.
That's my sister's middle name.
Oh.
How cool, well, right? Billy Joel's daughter, middle name Ray, right? Obviously, Ray Charles cast a big shadow.
Absolutely. And his version of Georgia on My Mind is just still one of my favorite things to listen to. But you want to conjure up the Deep South, put that song on with him singing it, and you've got the Deep South in its essence.
And then followed by Feels Like Rain, but yes.
Yes, and Feels Like Rain. Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. That is such an atmospheric song.
Hold up to the legendary Ray Charles.
But yeah. You do feel like you're in Louisiana and Feels Like Rain and completely. So, yeah. Right. And Feels Like Rain is, I think it's a shame that John isn't in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I agree.
I think that Feels Like Rain is a ballad, but I think a ballad that is crafted like that and can transport you like that, that's enough reason you need. And I really do feel like John Hyatt is one of the great American songwriters. And I think that his day will come. He might not be, we might not be here, but I do feel like his day will come when it's more than just a nod at the Grammys or somebody's going to go, you know what? He really was one of the great American songwriters. And Bob Dylan even felt that way. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, anyway. Okay, that's my tangent.
No, so
that was a great tangent.
I love that tangent.
My favorite episodes that we've done so far is Feels Like Rain, for everything that you've discussed. And
yes.
I shared then that song was like my birthplace given to me by John, because I was only in Louisiana for a matter of days before I was raised in the Northeast. Have pity on the Southerner transported to Yankee country, Nancy. And my mom would just put it on and tell me what Louisiana was like. And it was like, I got it. I didn't need to actually be there. It was in my blood in that song. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And what a finely crafted, it's just such a beautiful song.
Absolutely.
So I agree. I'll share my naming story. Lynn and I, we found out that she was pregnant. We really had thought we were not going to have kids. I was almost 30. He was born in February. I turned 30 in June. And we just had not planned on it. And we weren't actively trying to not have kids. But anyway, so we kept joking that I'm a huge Star Trek fan, that if it's a girl, we're going to name her Uhura. And we were just joking. That was just, but my mom was convinced that she was going to get a granddaughter named Uhura. And so when we had Chris, she was okay, almost relieved. Oh, it's a normal name. But yeah, there is that. And then we joked about, with the last name Jackson, there were a lot of names off the table. could name Michael. You could, and I knew I didn't want him to be a Jesse Jackson. My dad was a Jesse Jackson, so I knew I didn't want him to have the Jesse Jackson. So instead, what we did is he gave them Christopher Joel, which is my dad's middle name. So he got my nan.
I'll say this about Jesse Jackson. You are a fine man, but also there's a Jesse Jackson that is another great American icon.
Yes. And
that'd be pretty cool.
So I don't get that as much now, Nancy, but in 84, 88, 89, there would be times when people would be like, are you the Jesse Jackson? And like, no. And for the longest time, I would say, hi, I'm Jesse Jackson. I look different than I do on TV. You're used to seeing me on a black and white set. And I still sometimes say, I'm Jesse Jackson. No, not that one. So absolutely. All right.
And I do recall that it actually came up in, I think it was the press kit for Warming Up to the Ice Age, that John was very proud to have voted for Jesse.
Yeah. That's awesome. All right. Do you want to take the next section or you want me to, Nancy? You tell me.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
Okay. She is beautiful. She is small. She don't want to play basketball, but there's no telling what she might do before her doing days are through. For right now, she can't even crawl. So I will start this time. I am so glad you brought up, because I remember the first time I heard this song. And the first few times, you were a little surprised that it's about a child, right? I know a girl who messes with your mind, right? Oh, this is going to be a love song and everything. And it is hard for me to say a favorite lyric. But there's no telling what she might do before her doing days are through would be in my top list. It is so clever. It is so musical. And it's just so beautiful. As I was listening to that today, I'm like, I love that lyric. Is so, it feels effortless, yet it has so much in there. There's no telling what she might do before her doing days are through. And it just, it talks about the optimism of having a child, that you see what are they going to be when they grow up, the joy of that. And I'll get off my tangent, but Chris graduated from college. He came to work at the same company I was. And I have said this multiple times. It's cool when you watch your kid perform in a play. It's cool when you watch them play sports. It's very cool when you see him graduate high school, you graduate college. But for someone to stop you in a business place and say, are you Chris's dad? Yes. Wow, that's a sharp guy. I was in a meeting with him and he's really good. He's really smart. Is a type of joy you can't imagine, because all of a sudden it's this real world you're being judged. So yeah, absolutely. All right, I've gone long enough. Nancy, do you want to have any thoughts about these?
Well, yes, lyrically. And I do want to say, John and I were both just, it just felt like, not just, everybody feels like a miracle is about to happen when they're going to have a child. And for John and I, walking through the doors that we walked through to get to where we were, it was a sense of joy. It was a sense of mystery. And it was also a sense of, man, isn't life really great? And so I was thinking about that feeling, because we were, the whole time I was pregnant, it was just, and anybody that you look at a child and there's that whole sense of possibilities. And yeah, there's no telling what she might do before doing days are through. Buffett gives her wings. And Springsteen talks of boarding the train and taking what you can of the Lord's treasures. And I think that if you're a songwriter, certainly the caliber of these men, that type of inexplicable joy has to, it's, you better be careful how you write it down. And John's is more simplistic than even Buffett's, and certainly much more so than Springsteen. Springsteen's is like a point.
What's so impressive about it, I think, is that, as Jesse was saying, that who can say how it actually got to the words that we have in the song, but simple is the hardest thing to do.
Like, it's the hardest thing.
Yeah, yeah. There's the old joke that, I'm sorry, this letter is so long, I didn't have time to write a short one. You know, yeah. Like, that I can only imagine it was either some kind of magic that gave him those particular phrases and the way that they just fall together. And it's like, it's magical listening to those words. And I've been listening to this song on repeat, getting ready for this, and they still give me chills every time it comes around, because it's like all of a sudden the curtain falls back and you see this person who you are absolutely rooting for, the same way that John is, the same way a parent is, and you believe that they can do absolutely everything. It's like,
absolutely.
I'm also thinking about Garrison Keillor's joke in Prairie Home Companion about all the children are woebegone or about the average. Of course, every parent feels their child is spectacular, but like, it's those words, you absolutely believe she could be president, she could win a Grammy herself, she could be the mother of the year someday, and I won't go further than that. But yeah, I just wanted to point out, like, it's simple, but that's exactly what makes them so amazingly good.
Well, and I think that's a good point, because when I say it's simple, it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's
right.
very much not easy to express so very much with a few words you've heard over and over again. Mm-hmm. And I do think that's a gift that John,
sure.
John's got a lot of gifts, but that's a pretty big one.
Yeah.
And you telling the story about that joy and that the third child, of course, always brings me to another Bruce song, which, by the way, very disappointed. Bruce wrote a song, Long Time Coming, and I was hoping it was a John Hiatt, because John has Long Time mm-hmm. Coming, two separate songs. But he talked about this, that in the song, they're out camping, and he says, two kids in a sleeping bag besides, I reach beneath your shirt, lay my belly across your belly, and feel another one kicking inside, and I ain't going to it up this time. And he said in a speech, too much. I really meant I'm not going to fuck it up too much this time. He said, but that doesn't work rhythmically. But I the idea, right, that third child, and then the idea of this bridge, I love that glue and that bridge thought of, now then we've bonded, and there's now this Hiatt Five, the Fantastic Five family going off to save the world. So yeah, I absolutely love that lyric. Yeah. Any other thoughts before we go to the chorus? By the way, I do wonder why basketball, right? Is it just it worked the rhyme? But it works really well. She's beautiful, she's small. She don't want to play basketball, correct?
Our son. Well, we had a son playing basketball.
Yeah.
So
was he trying to get Lily to play all the time? Is that part of it? Or
yeah, probably. He was, I'm not telling. We lived on the farm already.
Yeah.
No, we didn't. We didn't live on the farm when George was. No, yeah, it was Rob playing basketball. That's exactly what it was. And Rob was playing basketball, and Lily wanted to play basketball, but the ball, Lily was. Lily was a little girl and the ball was bigger than she was. So it was just part of what was going on in our lives at the time. The song itself is a huge snapshot of what was going on and trying to put the Hiatt family, of this new Hiatt family.
Nice. Yeah, I love that. Absolutely killer chorus, Georgia Rae. Okay, Georgia Rae, what I say now, Georgia Rae. I almost can't even now just say it without that rhythm. Just absolutely.
And there's Ray Charles.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Baby, what I say.
What I say. I can't believe how many times I've listened to this, literally feels like my whole life. And I never made that connection, but it makes perfect sense. And now I've got chills thinking about that kind of being a little hat tip to the great Ray Charles. Love
it. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Ray gets his due.
Yeah, nice.
And your mother and I, we did this act in Sotel about 9 months back. Now it's love that brings you here, a love that will not disappear. Georgia, honey, you can count on that. One of my favorite Aaron Sorkin lines, he's done it in multiple things, is he tells the parent in the show says, the only thing you need to do to make me proud is come home safe every night, right? And that idea of the rest of the dreams is one of my favorite songs, right? That light at the stairs, I'll be there. And this statement there, it's a love that brings you here, a love that will not disappear. Georgia, honey, you can count on that. Is just, I have tears just thinking about it.
Yeah. And, what a wonderful thing for a father to say to a daughter. Even she wasn't born then, but she's heard the song. The light's on, honey, come on home.
Yeah.
And as someone who grew up without two parents, it is lovely. It welcomes you into that feeling of you can count on us to stay together and love each other and be surrounded by the love of the parents for each other. That is a real gift that not everyone is fortunate enough to have. And that song always made me a little envious, if I'm perfectly honest, but it also is written in such a way that it welcomes you into that kind of experience of that what family is. And it doesn't have to be the two of you never had partners before or anything like that. What you were just talking about, of building that family together and
chisel really it out. And I think that, and it occurred to me at one point that line is universal because it can be interpreted in so many ways. And I think also what you have, John and I came from, John's dad died when he was really young. And I came from a difficult situation. And so I think a little bit of what we hear with that line is a young John that saying, I really want it. I think we can really make it this way for you. And this is a gift I want to give you really bad. And
I think better than I had.
Yeah.
It's, I think in a lot of ways, my latest musical obsession, Jason Isbell, is a spiritual child of John in a lot of things. And he wrote a song about letting you go, about his daughter. And just recently, him and his wife, Amanda, announced that they were separating. And you almost go immediately to that little girl that had that thing. And there's just something beautiful about all three children got this, the best of you during this time, right? That, and I'm sure all of you guys had your issues and worries. And as Bruce said, I don't want to F it up too much, right? But they got y'all together working to build that family. It's just a beautiful sentiment.
It's what we wanted. Take us back to our childhood, emotional childhood selves. It's what we both wanted and was family. So we went to bat for it.
Good for you guys. All right.
Yeah. And we've had other guests too, who like me have talked about the fact that these songs gave them a window into that comfort of a linked and supportive family that they might have been lacking in their real life. I wanted to point that out too, that just, it's a real gift to open up that truth and share that with people. And this is a very personal song, obviously, like to the point that he talks about a hotel, and in Michael Elliott's book, we hear about, but just the fact that you're willing to share that brings people in and it spreads that love around.
Yeah. And the idea of writing.
I'm glad to hear that. I think that I'm really glad to hear that. I was so busy in the day to day of just raising these kids and you know, that you can overlook the fact that we were not So you can, we're crazy people, but we did our level best. And everybody, and our kids are doing their level best. And they're great people. They're really great people.
I've only met Lily, but she really is phenomenal in every way.
Oh, and Georgia and Rob are, I don't know, all three of them. You get all three of them together and I'm just like, I look at, watch them like at a Christmas or at an Easter family thing, at family dinner. We have dinners a lot. Nice. And I just, I don't know. It could have been, my brother was 16 years older than I was. And he would talk about that I was his baby. He would walk over to the hospital from summer school and that I was his first baby. And then by the time I'm really cognizant that I'm alive and getting in and out of bed, he's gone. He's already gone. And my sister was 6 years older than I was. And we became friends, but much later age.
Like as adults. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in high school, but really close at a much later age and very close when I found out she was dying. We just didn't have we both felt like we didn't have a minute to waste. It was like, and so I look at these three kids and I just think, you three are the most amazing human beings I've ever seen in my life. And it's not, I don't take ownership of that. I think because they are individuals, but they are three gorgeously wonderful, caring and loving individuals. And that makes me start to cry. So I'm going to quit.
Okay. No, I
just love how that exactly what you said is in every lyric of this song. Just basically rewrote Georgia Rae as prose, as a non-singing version, but it's all there. And you can hear it in the guitar. You can hear it in his vocal styles and every lyric.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. God. And he's a guitar player, isn't he? Wow.
Yes.
John can really play guitar.
Yes.
And I think that's, once he starts playing them on stage and he starts, does his ad lib guitar stuff, it really, some of these songs become something totally else, something else altogether. And I think, I don't know, it's just fun to watch the evolution.
I'm glad you said that because it seems like he's rather modest about that. But,
he's rather modest about it all. Yeah. So you don't want to have him on the podcast because he's not going to know.
Well, we do.
Yes, we do want him sometimes. Yeah. For the record, he's welcome. I remember reading, I think it was during the pandemic, him and Lily, I think, did a discussion. And I don't care that I haven't won a Grammy. And she's like angry. How dare my dad has not won this because she's so proud of him. And when you almost can feel, I remember they asked Kirk Douglas, are you jealous that your son Michael won an acting Oscar and you never won one? And Kirk, he's my son. When he wins, I win. No, exactly. Why would I be jealous? And I will not put words in his mouth, but I would guess if John said, oh, give me a choice between me winning a Grammy and Lily. Yeah, give it to Lily in a minute. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Awesome. That would be, that would make him happier than, he's really a shy person. So having to go up and accept a Grammy might be painful, but I know he'd appreciate it. But to see Lily get it, oh my. Wow.
Yeah.
That would just,
Maybe someday.
Maybe one day. All right. One of the ongoing themes we have here is Sylvan always says, I never know what's a bridge, but we have a bridge. You want to take a Sylvan?
Sure. We were tired, should have been sleeping, but like a fire, something came creeping. And once again, it brings you back to that moment in the hotel and the romance, the young love. I love that. And I also really love what he does vocally there and that it just really seems like this is the opportunity that the Goners just go to town. And
the Goners are the only guys that could play this, give this song. The Goners and John, I'm sorry. That's just, the Goners are family. They'll always be family. And that's just how we feel about them. But if anybody had played on this song outside of the Gunners, it wouldn't have worked. The Gunners were waiting for Georgia to be born. They were just as much of, what's it going to be?
Oh, and that's so sweet.
Yeah, they're sweet men. They're wonderful men. They're
very
wonderful people. And we've been really, you know, we've been so blessed to have so many wonderful people in our lives. But for these guys to be sitting around, these Louisiana boys to be sitting around Tennessee waiting for this baby to be born.
it was just...
Really great.
If I can share a little bit of a story, I have a friend here in Vermont who actually raises sled dogs, and he names them after musicians. So he's had a Hyatt, he's had a Georgia, and so forth. And it's a really fun thing. He brings people out on tours, snow sled with the dogs pulling. And he was a big fan of John, obviously, but also like probably even bigger fan of Sonny Landreth. And
yes,
he had a young daughter that actually ended up having a real friendship with Sonny. And they joked that when she was 10 years old, she was getting musicians sending her stuff or whatever. What's it going to be like when she's a teenager? He was just, my friend Rob, who was the father, went on just about how kind and generous Sonny was, and that he saw this kid and he was like, he just wanted to make her day every time. And
that was
Sonny's
amazing. He's unbelievably talented, but it's who he is as a person that really amps it up for me with Sonny and Dave and Kenneth. We love these guys.
But I grew up in Lake Charles, so I always have this pride about Kenny because I'm like, yeah. So yeah, I have this love of him, all of them, but I have a special because of the Lake Charles connection. So that's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. You want to finish this off, Sylvan?
Sure. So your brother and sister don't understand how your tiny feet and your tiny hands could carry the weight of 1,000 Earths into our little universe. But Georgia, we all think it's grand.
So yeah.
Another in the pantheon of every line is brilliant John Hyatt lyrics. Carry the weight of 1,000 Earths into our little universe. Is so perfect.
It is perfect. It's completely perfect.
And what's genius is the way his voice, we're tired, should have been sleeping. Mm-hmm. And then immediately back to the same kind
energy.
Of rhythm
and
energy of the previous is just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, it's a love song to family. And to me, it has that energy. He has said in interviews that when he's home, it's like there's an engine that's constantly whirring as the family is doing all their activities and so forth. But it's like a humming, beautiful energy. And you can hear it right in there.
And it's been
a pretty beautiful life. Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the other things I really love about the song is the brother and sister, right? Mm-hmm. That this is not just mom and dad expecting the new baby. It's the family is expecting, the family is excited. And I connect the dots to talk about that glue baby. And it is, and luckily it sounds like that was a blessing. She felt that as a blessing instead of this burden that as she grew up and
she
you
had
guys
to hold
helped
things
that.
Together. No, it just sounds like it was the perfect puzzle piece or the.
Yeah.
You
know,
it's a, Georgia's just the perfect little spirit. And she's not little anymore. I don't know why I say that, but Georgia has a purpose. She has a purpose and she served our purpose in our younger lives, and she's serving her purpose in her life now, and it's much the same. She is all about bringing people together. She's all about actually Lily would be a better person to talk to about Georgia because they adore each other. They're just totally. And then we have Rob who's like our redneck sage.
That's so cute. As the non public, or I have extended an invitation to Lily and she said that she would like to come on sometime. So fingers crossed that'll work out. I know a while ago you said that Rob doesn't do social media or anything like that. If you wanted to extend an invitation to him, we would love to have him on as well. Whatever song.
Yes.
Perfectly good guitar.
We shall see what the redneck sage has to say about that.
Yes.
I think he's very shy. So I don't know. And no, he doesn't do social media at all. He was born like in between. He remembers the rotary phone and when calling your grandmother on the phone rather than pushing a button and talking to her on a screen.
We are very close in age. I used to count the months how close in age Robin.
Now, one thing I'll add about this song before we move on, because we were in San Francisco. John and I were in San Francisco. My sister still lived in San Francisco. She had not moved to Healdsburg yet. And we were running. John and I were running. The whole world was running at the time. And we...
80s fitness craze.
Oh, my God. We ran so far. We ran across to the Golden Gate Bridge, across the Golden Gate Bridge, down to Marin. Took the boat back across the thing and then ran straight uphill back to our hotel room. And I was dying. I was like, my legs aren't working, John. And sure enough, we laid down to take a nap and something did come creeping. So that is, I remember exactly when Georgia was born, was conceived. And we went out to dinner that night and met my sister and I couldn't stand up. I literally couldn't stand up. And she was like, what's wrong with you? And I said, we ran too far. And I said, but I got to tell you something. I think I got pregnant this afternoon. And she's you can't tell that. And I said, maybe not. Maybe I just overran. But I went to my doctor and he was like, it's too early to tell. And I said, I know, but I want you to test me anyway. And I was pregnant. So I know exactly it's still a movie in my mind. I know exactly when I got pregnant with Georgia. And so that whole part of that song is actually very literally true.
Yeah, I love how John does that, that you hear the lyric and then he tells the story and you're like, oh, like crystallizes. Yeah.
There's no secrets.
And then I love that then at the end, right? The little kicker, lucky for you, child, you look like your mama. It is such classic.
Self-appreciating.
John Hyatt.
It's classic John Hyatt. Yeah.
Yeah, it truly is. And I love on the covers, people do that too, right? And they have that.
Oh, it's
fun.
Too good a line to not include. Yeah.
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 And I have seen, actually, I met Georgia. I forgot that. But she does look like her mama and both gorgeous women. Nancy, I'm sorry to embarrass you, but I have to say that being a fan for as long as I have, and it was before the days of Facebook or things like that, the very first time I knew what you looked like was you sitting next to John at the Grammys. And I taped it, of course, and I paused it and I looked at it and like, I thought she was one of those beautiful on the inside, but maybe it doesn't show on the outside as much. People, she's freaking gorgeous. She's so beautiful, glamorous, and she outshines all these Grammy people all around her. Yeah.
Oh, you're sweet. That's kind of, that's it. I'm still the same Nancy.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I'm going to give Nancy last thoughts. So Sylvan, any last thoughts about the song?
Well, I was feeling the pressure preparing for this, and I am known as the meanie keeper of the scale. I'm not going to get into my rating yet, but I did think multiple times of, is this a song that you have to be a parent to fully appreciate? Obviously, all of us are children. All of us can respond to the song in that way. I've been talking all along about how much the song meant to me as a child. Is it something that isn't quite universal in the way that Feels Like Rain or Have a Little Faith in Me is? And I think the more I asked myself that question, the more I thought it was a ridiculous question. Like, I have to admit to asking myself it, but like, I don't think you need to be a parent to love and live in this song the way that we've been talking about all night. And you see these people. I always just imagined the Rob and Lily that I had in my head before I ever saw a picture of Lily racing to a crib and looking over the edge of the crib. And I could just, it was so vivid that I think this is a song that welcomes you in, and it doesn't matter if you have had similar experiences to the characters in the song. It does a certain kind of magic that you can watch a sitcom like Leave It to Beaver or something like that and feel excluded if you don't have that kind of idyllic thing. This is idyllic in a way that says, if you didn't have this, have a little piece of ours.
And it's
good
way to put it. That's John. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And that's a really great way to put it. Because I don't think the song is ultimately about Georgia or giving birth or sex or any of it. I think it's about this unmitigated joy that anybody can have. It might be fleeting, but we all get it. Right. We all have an opportunity. We all feel it. And if we're really lucky, we recognize it.
Yeah, exactly. To quote, again, in an interview, they were talking to Jason Isbell, and he said, I sometimes find the more specific I go personal, the more universal the song becomes.
Mm-hmm.
If I try to do something universal or grand, it doesn't work. But if I get something really personal to me, it becomes universal. I've spent most of my time as a parent. And so I think that's an interesting question to ask. I often joke about in Bruce Springsteen fandom, I am not a big Jungleland fan, even though all the Bruce Springsteen fans like, oh, it's one of his greatest songs. And it doesn't speak to me personally. I acknowledge it's a good song, but it's just not a song that speaks to me emotionally. I think there are songs that are they can't wear out. If you hear a song on repeat, you never get tired of it. And it might be a great song and you still go, okay, I've heard this song enough. But I think this is one of those songs that I don't know if I heard it for 2 hours in a row, I think I would still be happy at that end of 2 hours and humming along.
Well, I did hear it for 2 hours in a row, and I was happy. And part of that, I want to give a shout out once again to the cover versions we had and talk about the fact that musically, John laid down some bones that can have all sorts of things put on top of it and have it work in so many different ways. And Jesse and I talk about how the fact that we're not musicians and can't really talk to that, but with all the magic we're talking about what he did lyrically, I think he also did something equally magical with the music. And that came out when we were listening to just a guy literally playing his guitar in his room alone, singing along with John's recording.
Yes.
By a duo who are performing to each other over Zoom and had that kind of rich connection despite the technology, to the full band with like funny little drums and everything like that. All that worked with this melody. And as you were saying, Nancy, the Goners put their own special flourish on it that made it something absolutely otherworldly special. But
yeah,
I wanted to say that.
Good.
I agree with you. I agree with you on that. I think that the music, what I know about John is that the music's always going in his head. It does not stop, which if you're not a musician can drive you a little nuts sometimes, but it doesn't stop.
Thank you saying that so I didn't have to ask because it sounded like.
But it doesn't stop. The music always comes first, and there's little hums or sounds. And then, but I think Georgia Rae just all came together. Mm-hmm. And so the joy's in the music, the joy's in the lyric, the joy is in the listening. That's a happy melody.
Has all the anticipation and the resolution, all those things that we've been talking about or the
Put it in an elevator and take the words away from it, it's still going to be a happy song.
I like that there is that joy in the lyrics, joy in the music, joy in his performance. And as it, and you, there's a sense of joy with the people it covering. I absolutely agree.
And also that with, when we have our children, I think what I get from John, from Georgia Ray, when I'm getting from Living Proof and Little Miss Magic, is that birth is probably as, when we acknowledge that infinite possibilities that we see in our children, that we see, they're infants.
Yeah.
It's, and you experience the birth, I think it's the closest mankind comes to resurrection.
Divine.
I think so. I think that perfectly wraps up the discussion through. So I will have to share this a little bit about Sylvan. When we're doing Feels Like Rain, in the introduction, she says, and this is a 5-star song. I'm throwing it out right now. If you disagree, get off the podcast.
In the facts, because it's a fact.
She just give this. But for the record, we will go through and rate the song. I will start. This is absolutely a 5-star song. It is on my list of favorite John Hiatt songs. It's on my list of favorite songs. I adore everything about this song. I love, as you said, the joy in the performance, the joy in the melody. This is truly, and I absolutely would give this to someone on a mixtape of, hey, I want you to hear some different sides of John. And absolutely, Feels Like Rain, Memphis in the Meantime, wherever you go. But I would include
the
song.
It's in the pantheon of
it. Is in the pantheon, yes. So, Nancy, is it fair for us to ask you to rate it?
Yeah, but I'm not. I'm going to give it a 5, but I'm going to give them all of a 5. And I think what I really give a 5 to is the Georgia Ray.
Absolutely. Perfectly said. All right, Sylvan.
Okay. As I said, I waffled a bit, and certainly part of that was the pressure is, could I possibly give Georgia Ray the song anything less than 5 stars while Georgia Ray's mom is looking at me?
Yes, you can. Music fan first.
Yes, and I could. It really, the only reason I was, maybe it's a 4 and not a 5 is, as I said, that experience of not being a parent and can, it was the feeling like, yeah, it's probably a 5, but it would definitely be a 5 if I was a parent.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is it's probably a 5. And the other thing is that slow turning the album, it's going to be hard to rate anything on there less than 5 stars, which feels like cheating because we're supposed to be judging here, but it's also a fact that
it's a powerful combination of songs. It's a really powerful record. So, I agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to go ahead and go 5-2. That I'm not going to let my inner doubts cloud that.
Kitten, very nice. Nancy, I just want to say thank you so much for spending time with us. This is
Thanks
a joy. You are welcome anytime. And we just, I am so thrilled that Sylvan reached out to you. And I got, it truly was like finding out, I know what your parents are getting you for Christmas. So she's Jesse. And I'm like, what? And thank you for this gift. Thank you for everything. And I'm going to get overly sentimental here. Thank you for all you've done for your family and for John, because I know he had a rough time, and a happy John is a productive John, and we want him to live many years longer. And thank you for you guys taking care of each other. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you for being the inspiration of so many love songs.
And thank you, Sylvan, for being my friend. Because I get to be a John Hiatt geek with Sylvan, and she didn't think I'm stupid.
Sylvan,
you and me. Yeah.
Sylvan, do you want to tell her why you were so happy with me?
Oh, yeah. So when Jesse first had the John Hiatt Month on his other podcast, and I was a guest, it was my first time meeting Jesse. I said, usually people ask if I can talk about something other than John Hiatt for an hour. So to be asked to talk about John Hiatt for an hour is pretty awesome. Yeah.
So thank you so much. Yes. Sylvan, any final thoughts to share with our wonderful guest?
Nancy, this was such a thrill, and I am still just overwhelmed at how gracious you are. And from the moment I opened my mailbox and there was this lovely thank you note that was like the epitome of Southern charm and grace and manners and everything, you've just been so kind to me. Thank you so much. It is absolutely a privilege to be in your orbit. And it makes perfect sense, having had this time talking with you and knowing you such as I have for a while, that John is so in love with you and has written so many beautiful love songs, because here she is. She's the woman. She's the real deal. So thank you.
Sylvan, absolutely. Actually, the honor is mine, knowing you. Thanks.
Thank you so much. I agree. One of the blessings of doing this podcast is we've gotten to be friends, and October, I'm going to New England for the first time, and we're going to break bread together.
We're going to meet in person. 3D. It's going to be weird.
It's going to be nice. Right. Yes.
Good for you guys.
Very nice.
You are very kind. You are so kind, and I feel like I've been with two really good friends tonight. Yeah, thank you so much.
And of course, welcome. Give our love to John and thank him for giving Jesse and myself a reason to talk for 6 years straight about something we love.
Absolutely.
Oh, how wonderful. You guys are amazing. And I will give him your greetings.
Thank you. That sounds wonderful. Well, I think the only thing we got left to say is have a little faith.
Have a little faith.
Have a little faith. Absolutely. Every day. Every morning we wake up and we have a little faith.
Nice.
And it makes it a great day. And we walk in beauty.
All right. Thank you, listeners. You hear it. Let us know what you think. We will talk to you next week with another song. Thank you so much for being on this journey. Be safe, be kind, and we'll talk to you soon. Goodbye.
Baby, we can come on home. Put the cow horns back on the Cadillac and change the message on the code of mine. It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.